The views and opinions expressed by our guests are not necessarily the views and opinions of Haunted New Jersey, LLC, or Haunted New Jersey Films, LLC.
Haunted New Jersey Podcast number 37 for September 5th, 2006. Welcome to the 37th edition of the Haunted New Jersey Podcast. We are your hosts, Garrett Husveth and...
Brent Dolan. Sorry, I'm so used to...
You want to be Lex.
I'm so used to saying Lex. I just totally slipped. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It will soon be the Lex show.
Yeah, probably.
Garrett and Lex show.
Yeah. I mean, Lex and I could do it over the phone. We don't need you.
That's hot.
Go ahead.
Your phone's ringing.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's all right? It's all right.
Background music by Lex Wall. Check out Lex's podcast, Anything Ghost, on Podcast Alley or iTunes as well. You can check out Jeff Hahn's podcast on iTunes, the EVP podcast.
I wonder if anybody's going to take, you know how the YouTube.com is really hot?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't somebody take YouTunes? There you go. Maybe somebody
why don't
has
you register it?
There you go. I'll sell it to somebody.
Yeah.
50 cent.
Yeah, probably that's all you get for it.
I went to GoDaddy the other day, and they actually have a whole thing where people just sell domain names.
Yeah, there's sites that do that. I still have a lot of names left.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, did I say that on the mic?
Made a lot of money doing that back in the day. You can't not have to bleep all that out. It's another 10 minutes worth of editing.
Sorry. It's my inner monologue talking.
Well, we don't have that much to talk about this week. We have a big announcement. But we don't have that much to talk about. In a few minutes, we're going to be playing an interview. I did a short interview with Al and over the phone, and Pam Heath, who most of our loyal listeners, longtime listeners, know. Pam is a parapsychologist and psychic. It lives out in California. She just had a new book come out, which we're actually giving away on our weekly podcast drawing, signed copies of the book, Suicide, What Really Happens in the Afterlife. And so we're going to be giving away a signed copy of that book today. But we did an interview with Pam. I guess both run a little over an hour. I recorded them onto cassette. So
they sound a little tinny.
It sounds a little weird, and I never realized how much cassette recordings, analog recordings, they're a little distorted now that we do most of the stuff digitally, but so we sound like munchkins, kind of.
But at least the levels are correct.
Yeah, they are correct. With the digital equipment we have, we can't get the levels correct. So
you ready for Halloween?
Yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah?
Yeah, I know Gene and Brian are going to come in next month to do a podcast right around Halloween with us. That's Gene and Brian from Hometown Tales, the Hometown Tales podcast.
Is Brian going to wear his flasher costume again?
He said he's going to get really drunk.
Oh,
and well, that I'm going to have you drive him home.
No.
Well, he can get as drunk as he wants. He's just going to have to stay here overnight, which I know he's not going to do because he's afraid. And Al will be in town sometime around Halloween to do a podcast with us. And actually, I'm going out to... we're going out to see Jackie Barrett over to her house this weekend on Sunday. And we're going to spend a little time with her.
Sounds cool to me. Sorry, I was just typing away. Right. So... Seeing that we're cutting this one short, I'm really not, you know, it's just like, you know, do we have to pick a winner or anything?
Yeah, I'm going
to
do that
there
in a second.
There we go. I knew we could do something.
We have a few email to read, too.
And you're typing away, too.
Well, I'm trying to get into my email.
Oh. Well, and you can record and email at the same time?
Yep.
That's pretty cool. The power of RAM. Dodge RAM.
So, let me see. Let me pick a winner first. This is for the book and one of Al's CDs, Ghost, Poltergeist, and the Electronic Voice. Oh, can you stop that, please?
Is it
oh,
really? God. You can hear it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
To this, hold on a second. This week's winner is Rhonda Martin from Wausau, Wisconsin. So Rhonda will be getting a signed copy of Pam's book, and also one of Al's CDs, A Ghost, Poltergeist, and the Electronic Voice.
Yeah, go Green Bay.
Congratulations. And let's see, what else we got to get to? We got a few emails to answer. I didn't have a lot of time to prepare this week because I've been busy. I know you've been really busy, too.
Been busy.
So this is from Jay Klarfeld in Citrus Heights, California. Hi, guys. I'm 42, living in Northern California, and I'm originally from New Jersey, lived in Union and Hillside. I love your show. I'm on episode 3. One of the things that really impresses me is how much time you have spent talking about credibility. I like your format and your style. Thank you for being there. I'm going through your shows one at a time and really enjoying it so far. So, Jay, thank you very much. Keep listening. If you have any questions or anything you'd like us, any topics you'd like us to tackle, give us a call and let us know.
It is football season.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. And I told you, I watched the Giants, and I want to know how I get 3 hours of my life back after watching that game.
I think if you play the game in reverse and listen for EVP, all right. You'll lose another 3 hours.
Yeah, right. Oh, that was horrible. Horrible.
That was a good game.
Yeah, except they lost.
Stat-wise, they didn't deserve to win. Didn't deserve to lose the game.
No,
but
they did.
Scoreboard-wise,
they did.
Losers.
There they are. Let's see who else do we have email from here. Oh, this is from Jerry Paulus, who's a listener of ours in Philly. And let's see, he writes in.
Philly in the house.
Did the Eagles win?
Eagles play the Giants this weekend. Yeah,
did they win last week, though?
And they did win. They beat the number one team in football, the Houston Texans.
They're number one?
No, I'm joking.
Yeah,
they're like
my
number
grandmother
one,
could beat them.
Number one if they're in last place.
Yeah, right. This is from Jerry. Hey, guys, I was just searching the internet for EVP and came upon Al's recording of The Baby is Staying from Tony's house. And Tony, we had on last Halloween. We'd done a lot of work on the haunting in her house over the years. One that you wouldn't play for the listeners because Al said it was too dark and sinister. Well, when you guys see Al again, tell him he was completely right. I had headphones on when I played it on my computer and threw them off 2 seconds into the voice. Jumping out of my chair and spending the next 5 minutes trying to gather up the courage to come back to the computer and shut it off. I've let a few other people listen to the voice, and they all had the same reaction I did, throwing the headphones down a second or two after the file started to play. Needless to say, I haven't been sleeping that well over the last few days, and because of this, I thought I would ask you guys a question. Are any of you scared so much of what you find that it affects you to the point that you have trouble sleeping? Maybe I'm just wimpy and easily scared person, but surprisingly, no one of the EVPs you guys have played before has ever had such an effect on me. Thanks, and keep up the great work. Sincerely, Jerry Paulus. You ever get scared?
Not yet. I'm still waiting for that time.
Yeah, but I mean, have you ever heard? Do you think you could ever hear a voice that wouldn't make you not sleep?
Probably. Probably not a voice though, unless it called out and said, "Brent, you're dead."
Yeah, that's probably
Brent. I'm going to kill you or something.
That happens to people, but you know, of course, they can't kill us.
But again, that's probably you in the background just telling me that.
Jerry, I think you're pretty wimpy.
Wow. And thank you for being a loyal listener.
No, seriously. We've had a lot of people, not a lot, but several people come call us and say that voice scared them. And, you know, some of the voices are creepy, but really voices don't scare me anymore. They just don't. I know Al doesn't get scared of them. Physical phenomena freaks me out a little bit sometimes, but it happens so infrequently that a lot of the time when it happens, you just kind of say, did I think what happened just happened? And like up in here a couple times over the past few weeks, something touched me a couple times on the head.
Yeah, it's more exciting to us when we get something other than scary.
Yeah,
I don't think we even realize that it should be scary anymore.
No,
you just
well,
spend so
be.
Much time and so much effort and so much work doing it.
Right.
It turns into a job.
It is kind of like work.
And you know what a job is.
But we don't get paid for this one.
Work is just another four-letter word.
It is. We have another email or two to answer, but I want to announce, I just got to bring up the email here from Al. We're going to go ahead and have the Haunted Weekend down in Cape May. This is going to be on a Friday and Saturday night into checkout Sunday morning on May, the first weekend of May of 07. So it's Friday the 4th, Saturday the 5th, and checkout on Sunday the 6th of May 2007. Right now, the hotel. This is at the Hotel Maycomber in Cape May. Excuse me.
You just said. Did you say May 2006?
Seven.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's this coming next May. I've got to bring up the email from Al. I don't think I have it here. Hold on a second. But anyway, what we're going to do is check-in is on Friday morning. Friday afternoon, Friday evening, we're going to have some kind of reception for all our guests. And Saturday is going to be a series of workshops and some lectures, some presentations. Saturday night, we're going to actually do an investigation in the Hotel Maycomber. And some of our listeners know from listening to past podcasts that the Hotel Maycomber is the base of Al's haunted original haunted Cape May tour. It also has activity on every floor from top to bottom. The last few years, most of the activity has been in the basement, which you've been in with me. It's kind of weird down there.
Yeah, it's, we got into some certain rooms that you guys weren't able to the last time we went down there, and I also got to see the jar of throwing stuff.
Right, in the haunted Cape May tour shop that's run by Al's tour partner, Dan Bickler. They've actually seen these items pick up off the shelf and throw. They'll hit people. They'll break. So anytime they come in and anything's, they either see it being thrown or they come in the morning and stuff's broken on the floor, they put it in the jar. So there's definitely a lot of activity. I think Al said also that he was going to run a tour sometime that weekend, so you get to take the original Haunted Cape May walking tour. It should be a lot of fun. And I don't know what I did with that email from him. Oh, here it is. Okay. So this is it. The dates are the 4th and 5th of May. Checkout is Sunday morning the 6th at the Hotel Maycomber in Cape May, New Jersey. It's two nights at the hotel. The fee is for a couple, $255. For a single person, $205. This includes two nights at the historic and haunted Hotel Maycomber. Dinner at the Haunted Union Park Restaurant, which is on the main floor of the hotel, and it's one of the best restaurants in Cape May. Four lectures on hauntings, ghost photography, and EVP. And Dave Manganelli is coming out from Pittsburgh, and he's going to do a talk on ghost photography. And participation in an overnight investigation of the Hotel Maycomber. All breakfasts and lunches are not included. Dinner Friday night is included, and that's at the Union Park. So it's a pretty good deal for two nights. And, you know, and anyone who's not been to Cape May before, it's an awesome Victorian seaside resort town. Very old, very haunted. So, and what I talked to Al, and what we're going to do is we're going to be giving away here. It's a special giveaway. This is not the normal weekly podcast giveaway, which next week will also be for one of Pam Heath's books and one of Al's CDs. This is a special giveaway. Haunted New Jersey is giving away one of these weekend passes for $255.
But no plane tickets.
No. You've got to get yourself here. You got to pay for all your meals and everything except for the one Friday night. But you're going to get you're going to get one of these package deals.
And no quarters for the video arcade across
the street. Yeah, we spend most of our time.
Yeah. I think I spent $50 on the room and about $150
in the arcade,
in quarters.
Right. So at any rate, we set up a special email address. It's capemayweekend@hauntednewjersey.com. That's CAPEMAY, weekend@hauntednewjersey.com. If you want to be entered in the drawing between now and Halloween, send an email with your mailing address to that address. And when Al's in town, we do our Halloween podcast, which is going to be around the end of October, we're going to pick a winner. And if you win, you'll get to spend a weekend down there for more or less free.
Yeah, and hopefully they're not the only ones there that weekend.
No. We've gotten a good response lately, and they've blocked off 20 rooms for us. But they told us we can have the whole hotel if we get enough people. So we could theoretically have the whole hotel, which I think is like 50-something rooms that weekend. But we told them to reserve 20 rooms for us for that weekend for now. We'll see how it goes. So you guys, if you're interested in coming down there, you've got to I'm going to put some information on the on our website on the main page at hauntednewjersey.com about the cost. You have to prepay for the weekend. Send a check down. And I'll have all that information on the site. You deal not with us for that, but the Hotel Maycomber. And it's the first come, first serve. If the 20 rooms get filled up and we can't get any more, then that's it. But again, send an email to Cape May Weekend at hauntednewjersey.com to be entered in the special drawing. If you want to be entered in the regular weekly drawing, send an email to info@hauntednewjersey.com.
And you can send an email to both addresses.
You can. You can enter both drawings. Absolutely.
Because we're cool like that.
Yeah, yeah, sure. But it should be a real fun time. Let's see. And, oh, yeah, I wanted to... Wait, you have something to say?
No.
All right. Michael out in Denmark, this is a coded message. The stuff I told you that I was going to send you is going out tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of things I got, thanks for the comic books.
Oh, yeah. This is a... We forgot to mention, this podcast is the Jeff Vita Appreciation Podcast.
Yes, thank you so much. It was just I didn't think I was going to get a brick full of comic books, but I am very appreciative of it.
Yeah,
Jeff
lives in Jersey, and he's a longtime listener. He's been listening pretty much from the beginning, and he said he'd send you. He works for Marvel Comics, right?
Yeah, it's like an honor to get. I mean, he's pretty high up there.
Yeah, I guess
Marvel,
so.
So that's pretty awesome, man. I really appreciate it. It was awesome.
And he said that he was going to send Brent some comic books, and what I got was a box of comic books that weighed probably like 30 pounds. He sent some for my daughter when she gets old enough to appreciate them, and then he sent you a ton.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Did you read them all yet?
I actually got into the Daredevil versus... No, wait. I went with the Punisher and Bullseye first. That was pretty cool.
You like it?
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's awesome. So, Jeff...
I'm trying to read it without creasing the pages, so it takes me a little longer.
Right. And my daughter would read them right now if I gave them to her, but then she would tear the pages out, so I'm going to hold on to the ones that you sent her for a while. So if any of our listeners want to send us stuff, feel free.
Yeah, it's the only payment we've received.
Yeah, you can send us whatever you want. I mean, as long as it's not disgusting, you can send us whatever
you
want.
As long as it's not like a finger or sever. Well, actually, if it's a fake finger, we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take whatever
you
want.
We don't want anything that's good.
Yeah, our address is on our website at hauntednewjersey.com on the contact page. Feel free. And go ahead and sign on the main page. There's a link to fill out your contact information. You get a free Haunted New Jersey sticker. So you can click on that link. It'll take you to the contact form. Just fill out your information and keep in mind that you're going to see an error when you hit the submit button, but don't panic because we still get it even though you see the error. I haven't had time to fix it, and I probably won't for some time.
Maybe January when things slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
And they've never done.
No, it seems.
But that's cool. That's cool.
The slow time of year seems to almost be the summer.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, you know, they got to take a vacation too, you know.
Right, right.
So... All right, do you want to play the interviews? We all rock steady?
I just wanted to...
Are you playing both interviews?
Yeah, it's just like a 10-minute phone interview, like a catch-up interview I did with Al, and then I guess probably about 45, 50 minutes with Pam Heath. There was one other thing I wanted to mention, and I forgot. Did you see how many people signed our Frapper Map lately?
No, a lot.
Between like the end of August and now, yeah, there are a lot of people.
Sweet.
That's pretty good. So go sign our Frapper Map. The link's at the bottom at hauntednewjersey.com. Damn. I know there was something I wanted to say, but I forgot. Well, anyway, we'll go ahead and play the interviews. Again, they're done over to telephone, so you can hear them. They're not the greatest quality. And go, by the time you hear this, or Saturday or Sunday morning of this week, I'll have all the information for the Haunted Cape May Weekend Getaway on our site. There'll be a link on the main page. It'll take you to another page. It'll have all the information you need if you want to join us for that weekend.
Sounds awesome.
All right. So we will catch up with you now that Halloween's coming. We've got a lot to get done between now and October 31st. So busy season for us, and we'll catch up with you guys next week.
See ya.
Hi, this is Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, paranormal investigator, and you're listening to the Haunted New Jersey Podcast.
No folklore, no fairy tales, no fantasies. These stories are true.
This is Al Rauber, and I've investigated over 1,000 haunting cases throughout the U.S. and England. Cape May seems to have an overabundance of past inhabitants refusing to leave. As beautiful as Cape May is, who could blame them?
The New York Times exclaims, Cape May is such a hotbed of paranormal activity, and Al Rober's tour is among the most popular around. The Lower Township Gazette writes, this is a tour that everyone who visits Cape May has to go on. 7 Mile Times, Prince. Stories are based upon true, real-life experiences and 28 years of research, not fantasy.
That's the original Haunted Cape May tour. For tickets, please call 609-463-8834.
This is paranormal researcher Randy Liebeck, and you are listening to the Haunted New Jersey podcast. God help you all.
Hey, Al, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, how's the weather over there?
It's fall in New Jersey.
Yeah, it's fall out in Pennsylvania, too. Yeah. Except it's a wet fall right now. It's raining like crazy.
Oh, it's raining? It's yep. Pretty dry out here.
We had a great weekend, though. Actually, I was in Jersey over the weekend.
Yeah, you were down in Cape May, right?
Yeah, went down there to see everybody. And,
how was it?
It was great. The weather was beautiful. The water was warm. The only crazy thing was it was a motorcycle weekend in Wildwood, so, you know, it was really hard to even talk to people because, you know, you heard the bikes going by all the time.
Continue. It was all weekend?
Pretty much all weekend,
wow.
Yeah. And all weekend, 24 hours. I mean, even in the middle of the night, they're coming by on Beach Drive and stuff, you know.
Right.
So.
Well, did you get any investigating in, or were you just down there for social?
Actually, I didn't get any investigating in, but what I did do was I talked to the manager of the Maycomber about our possible potential weekend, you know, in for our listeners in Cape May.
That was like a little mini conference we're having, right?
Yeah, and we got some dates that we're looking at. Looks like maybe the first weekend in May.
Yeah, that's what we were thinking of. What's that, the 4th and the 5th?
Yeah, so, it'd be like come in on a Friday, have just kind of a get-together on Friday, maybe talk about some stuff, maybe a surprise or two.
Right.
And then what I'm hoping to do also is maybe get one of the restaurants down there other than the Union Park that's also haunted. Maybe we could, you know, as a group go out there, you know, if the people want to go. And then while we're there, maybe see if we can talk to the manager about touring some of the areas where there's been activity.
Okay.
Then Saturday we'll start with the lectures. We'll do maybe 3 or 4 lectures during the day on Saturday.
Right.
And do some EVP stuff and, you know, introduce the people to EVP.
And do the investigation Saturday night.
Saturday night we'll do an investigation in the Maycomber, and for dinner, have dinner again at another haunted restaurant, the Union Park.
Right.
And that dinner would be included in the price.
So are we going to go on the record now and say that we're doing this?
Well, let's say that we're 90% sure we're doing it.
All right.
Okay. And I guess May is a good time to do it. We're talking about spring. You know, early spring doing it, but at least you don't have to worry about snow and stuff in May, you know?
Right.
So people can come if they want to come from the tri-state area or something, or wherever they want to come from.
Yeah.
You know, I guess the only thing we need to do is really decide whether we're going to only offer this to our listeners or if we're going to offer it to anybody that wants to come down.
Well, I think what we should do is give all our listeners, you know, an advance notice.
First choice.
Yeah. And maybe, after the first of the year, start promoting it on our website. And,
that's a good idea.
And through the tour, although the tour will be shut down that time of year, but basically through the website.
Right. Well, also, the Maycomber also wants to promote it, too.
Okay.
So they'll have it on their website, too. But, yeah, I think that's a good idea. Maybe give our listeners, you know, first shot. Yeah. And then open it up to the public.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds like a good deal. Sounds like a lot of fun, too. We'll also try to throw in a Haunted Cape May tour.
Right.
So we'll be able to walk them around the town, you know, of Cape May, and, you know, tell them a little bit about the hauntings as well as the history and the architecture in the town.
Oh, do you want me to announce the cost yet, or do you want to hold off?
Let's get that verified. I mean, I pretty much did get it verified, but
right.
I just sent an email out today just to finalize the
Those
cost.
Dates?
Yeah, and to finalize the cost, so
okay.
I'm waiting for that to come back. And as soon as we do, it shouldn't be that bad. I mean, you know, it'll definitely be, for two people, it'll definitely be less than $300 for the,
yeah.
you know, for the whole weekend.
Right.
Which isn't bad.
No, I mean, not in Cape May.
Especially in Cape May, yeah. And that'll, like I said, that'll include two nights plus all the lectures plus at least one dinner.
Okay, so we're looking at people coming in on Friday the 4th. We'll get together that Friday night. The 5th,
yeah.
which is a Saturday, would be lectures, presentations, maybe like some workshops, investigation that night on the 5th, and everybody departs the afternoon of Sunday the 6th.
That's what we're looking at right now.
Okay.
I think it sounds like a really good time, and we did something similar to this many years ago, about 11 years ago, 12 years ago,
mm-hmm.
down in Cape May, only not as well planned and not as good. We did it at a B&B down there,
right.
And it was basically just a couple of talks, and we had a psychic down there who was doing some readings and stuff, but mm-hmm. we're not going to get into that stuff.
No, not this time.
No, we're going to do science.
Yeah, right. And we've already got a rough itinerary and schedule put together for that weekend too.
Yeah, so. And we already have what, 3 or 4 responses just from mentioning it
right.
One of the podcasts.
Yes, we do.
So that's pretty cool.
But you know, when they got to put their money on the barrel to really
get their spot. But
yes,
it'll be great. And the lectures will be done by yourself, myself, and I've got Dave Manganelli
mm-hmm.
Lined up to talk a little bit about some of the pitfalls or some of the misconceptions about psychic photography.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got it's a really great lecture. You know, he'll show you some ghost photos, and he'll show you how the camera takes these things and how they're not really ghost photos.
So it's orbs. Swirl,
yeah.
Vortex and other non-anomalies.
Yeah, camera straps, things like that.
Right.
So and it'll be good because you know then the people who are there can also, when they're taking their own pictures, also be able to throw out some things that they're thinking might be ghosts or psychic photography and really isn't.
No, it's explainable.
Right.
Artifacts of the camera.
Sounds like a good time.
If you plan on getting anybody else down there, or you think we're going to do it? Because I know Brent's going to be down there to film it.
Well, yeah, Brent's going to film it all, right? And I think he said something about maybe even putting
it
together and offering it to the participants.
Yeah, that's the plan. It'll be put out on a DVD, and we may wind up selling them eventually, too.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, Brent. So there'll be, I guess, just the 4 of us pretty much taking care of everything.
Okay. So what else went on this weekend in Cape May?
It was my my college reunion weekend. We every year a group of us old timers from my college, which was Allentown College back in the day, but now mm-hmm. it's DeSales University. We go down to Cape May, and we've been doing this for 10 years now, and go down to Cape May some weekend during the summer or early fall.
Right.
We just have a great time. You know, we get together and we. Talk about stories that seem to get embellished more and more every year.
Okay.
Not the crazy things you did when you were in college, and it's great because the wives come down and they really have a good time. Everybody gets along with everybody, and it's really nice. This year we had a couple people come down who hadn't been there ever before and just came down this weekend.
Right.
And so we had a good time, and I did see my partner Diane.
Runs a tour.
Yeah, she had some really good tours. Friday and Saturday night, she had some really full tours. There was a lot of
Great.
People down there, and a lot of people taking the tours. You know, one funny thing happened. I was down in her shop
mm-hmm.
on Saturday, and a woman came up to me and said that she was planning on taking the tour. She had heard about the tour and. I heard it was really good, and she had come down early in the week, and I guess the tour wasn't running that night, so she decided to take another tour, which was a trolley tour that just started being offered last year
right.
by some group down there, and she said she went on the tour, and it was very expensive, by the way, our tour is very reasonable when you think about it, and she said she couldn't believe it. She paid all this money for this tour, and she swore that the person who was giving the tour, again, they have there's a person who stands in front of the trolley where everybody sits down and it goes past these houses.
Right.
She swears that this person was making up the tour as he went along. She said because he kept screwing up, like he'd say one thing, then he'd say something completely different, And as it was, she said it was so rushed because the trolley doesn't stop.
Right, it just keeps moving.
It keeps going, so...
Yeah.
Within a period of maybe 10 to 15 seconds, you're there and you're past the house.
Yeah.
And, there's houses that this trolley goes past that we spend maybe 20 minutes in front of.
Right.
Talking about all the different things that happen.
Yeah, and probably about 60 or 70 hours researching.
Exactly. These are, all of our stories are research. We've had, you're right, exactly, all the interviews with the people who had the experiences,
mm-hmm.
the homeowners, going back maybe 2 and 3 generations,
Right.
We've gotten an awful lot supporting you know, our tour and supporting the stories. But, well, this other particular tour, I guess, is just the feelings of a psychic.
Yeah, and you know, if you get a... If, I'm not saying that this is the case in this particular tour, but, you know, it's very convenient to be a psychic because you can feel pretty much whatever you want and then...
Say whatever
and,
you want.
And push it off as fact. And, you know, you and I can't do that.
No, no, we have to have the evidence to back it.
Right.
Or we don't use it.
No.
You know, or we don't use it. No. And that's the way we go about our investigations, and that's the way we go about our presentations, too.
Right.
You know, and the people who come down will see that, I think. The people who come down and join us for the weekend, I think I'd call it the Haunted New Jersey Paranormal Weekend in
Cape May. That's good.
And people who come down will see, you know, we'll present things, we're going to play a lot of voices. That have been captured by ourselves and other people in the field, EVP voices.
And hopefully we'll record some more when we're down there. The, as most people know who've listened to our podcast, the Hotel Maycomber is a very haunted building.
Exactly.
From top to bottom.
And if things go right, the place I'm thinking about going on Friday night for dinner, which again won't be included, and it'll be optional to the people if they want to go, if things go right and if I can get this set up, we'll actually go upstairs into some of the areas that are not open to the public where we've captured many voices.
Where's that? Can you say?
The place I want to take us to is Cabanas.
Oh, yeah, we've been in there several times.
Yep, and you know the voices we've got there.
The female voices.
Yeah, and what I'd like to do is, if I can get permission from them, is to, you know, take the group, maybe take a group at a time, you know, if we have a lot of people. I don't know how many we'll have, but, you know, if we bring them up there for a couple of minutes and they can bring tape recorders, and we'll encourage people to bring tape recorders,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that we can do some EVP taping. And
or digital recorders.
Or digital
or
recorders.
Or laptops.
And see if we can pick up, you know, anything and maybe play it for everybody.
And most people don't know that haven't been at Cape May, that the Hotel Maycomber is huge, and it's looking like we're going to get the whole hotel.
Yeah, if we, you know what?
If we can fill it.
If we can fill it, we'll get the whole hotel.
And how many rooms are in there? 30?
No, there's more now. There's, actually, they opened up more. I'm thinking it's about 42, but I'm not sure. But it's funny because there's about four or five rooms in the place that are actually active too,
including the whole basement apparently.
Including the whole basement,
which is where we spend most of our time, at least the last few years. I know several years back it was the second floor, third floor.
Yeah, it was the second floor was very active.
The lobby.
Actually the Union Park was very active.
Okay.
The restaurant where we're hopefully going to have dinner.
That's off the lobby.
I guess, on Saturday night.
And now, the past four years or so, it's all been going on in the basement. Most of all,
almost
the majority.
In the basement. Although, we did have another experience in room 10.
Oh, recently?
Which was, you know, the hot spot for the longest time.
Well, you had an experience in room 10, and I had an experience
yep.
in room 10.
Well, this weekend, there was four women, I think, staying there.
Mm-hmm.
In room 10, there were three women staying in room 10, and one of the women was smacked in the head. While she was in bed.
Really?
Yeah, she said she was just laying in bed, and I guess she was just getting up or something. She said something, it felt like a hand smacked her in the head.
Wow.
Which is pretty funny.
Did it hurt her?
No, I woke her up. No. No, it didn't hurt. She said it didn't hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like a playful
tap
in the head. Yeah, like smack in the head. And, of course, she ran right downstairs to tell Diane.
Well, I know that most of our listeners know that the Haunted Cape May tour is based out of the Hotel Maycomber, and the basement has been converted, most of the basement, into shops, and the Haunted Cape May Boutique, which is run by Diane, is in the basement, and there's been a lot of phenomena, things being thrown around the store and whatnot.
Yeah, that whole summer, you know, it was like summer of poltergeist, you know.
Yeah.
One summer, it was very, very active.
It was in a few of the shops down there.
Yeah, and so many people were hit with flying objects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, typical poltergeist phenomenon.
Well, has she reported anything over the past year going on down there, or has it calmed down?
No, it's calmed down somewhat, but mm-hmm. she still has those things with the footsteps in the back hallway.
Oh, right.
There, and
it's something
the doorknob turning.
Turning, okay.
Yeah, so that's all stuff that we'll point out to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I'll see if I can find those pictures.
Right.
That I took down there after the toilet flushed on us
mm-hmm.
by itself.
Yes.
If we can get that to happen again. That was so cool.
Yeah, and they reported people, you know, somebody walking into the bathroom down there, shutting the door, and they'll stand outside, and they hear somebody in there doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Desiree, who's one of the tour guides, has had this happen to her. And they'll sit and they'll wait for the person to come out because they need to use the restroom. This is the restroom in the basement off one of the hallways. And then finally they'll open up the door and nobody will be in there.
Yep.
There's a lot of activity around that end of the building, the front part of the building, and a lot of activity associated with that bathroom, which is right next, right down the hall from the boutique.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be pretty interesting.
No, it should be a good time. And, you know, the beginning of May, at least the weather's breaking, so, you know, it should be pretty pleasant.
All right. Well, do you have anything else you want to talk about?
I pretty much covered it.
All right.
You know, it's always good talking to you.
Yeah, it's good talking to you, too.
Hopefully next time I get into town.
You're going to be here for sometime around Halloween, right?
Actually, it'll be, I think, the week before Halloween or something.
Yeah, we'll definitely do a podcast, our Halloween podcast, around that time.
Yeah. It sounds like a good idea.
Okay.
All right.
I'll catch up with you soon.
All right. Take care, man.
All right.
This is Lex with Anything Ghost, and I've been a Haunted New Jersey listener for I don't know how long. It's the only place to be for an intelligent look at the paranormal. I'm going to grab my Haunted New Jersey beer stein, kick back, and listen to the rest of this podcast. Cheers.
Hi, Pam. How you doing?
Hey, you're doing great.
How about yourself? I'm doing well, thank you. So, what have you been up to?
Oh, not a whole lot recently, although I have to say this Saturday I'm going to be on the Hornet doing a flashlight tour if there's anybody in the Bay Area.
Oh, the USS Hornet, right.
Yeah, and if I notice any of the ghosts around, I'll point them out.
We just got an email from someone, and I should have passed it along to you, and said that they went there and they spoke to an older man that was a tour guide,
mm-hmm.
and he insisted up and down that the USS Hornet was not haunted.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag. Most of the people there have had experiences, especially those who have stayed overnight.
Okay.
But there are a few diehards who, shall we say, will only see what they want to see.
Right, right.
And
Is the Hornet, I guess that's a museum, right?
It's a museum ship.
All right, is that the association or the board, whoever is running
yeah.
down there, are they friendly to the whole ghost aspect?
It varies from one year to the next.
Okay.
There was a while when Lloyd and I were wanting to do regular investigations there, and then the board changed.
Yeah.
And they became hostile.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that.
And actually, part of that was due to MTV Fear.
They would make anyone hostile.
Making up all kinds of stuff. And they just went totally anti-anything paranormal for a while. And the current CEO, I would say, is not terribly pro-ghosts.
But he doesn't mind you taking tourists through?
Well, we do regular flashlight tours.
Okay.
The fact that I will talk about the ghosts, mm-hmm. we don't really publicize that much.
Okay.
Al, if he's running the tour, always makes a point of mentioning it and sort of laughs and makes fun of me as the ghost hunter and ghost chaser, I should say.
Right.
And I always say they chase me, I don't chase them. Which on the Hornet is true.
Yeah, right. They're all men.
And they like women.
Yeah, they do.
They can be a romantic group, too.
Right.
But, anyway, but he's been out sick recently, and some of the other people don't talk as much about the, you know, ghosts, or let the audience know that if they do have ghost questions, they can ask me about them.
Okay. Have you had any experiences there since you saw that apparition a few months back?
Not in terms of sightings. I've heard of people who saw things like coffee pots moving on their own, but I wasn't there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I can't go there and not see ghosts to
right.
a certain extent, or in a few cases, particularly near one bomb elevator, feel place memory.
Okay. For our newer listeners, you know, you should probably tell everyone what you do, since we've picked up a lot of new listeners since we interviewed you last.
Oh, well, boy, what I do, that's a long list. But
well,
what we're talking about is the USS Hornet Museum
right.
ship, which is based in Alameda. And well worth a visit. It was a very famous ship. It was actually not the Hornet that was at Midway. That Hornet was sunk.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And this Hornet was actually renamed. It was originally going to be the Kearsarge. And if you're actually way down in the depths of the ship, you still see some brass plates that say Kearsarge. When the other Hornet from Midway was sunk, they went ahead and renamed this ship the Hornet.
Huh.
To avenge its predecessor.
Oh, I see.
And this was a lucky ship. It was actually never hit. It had all kinds of wonderful war records in terms of how many kamikazes it shot down in a single day,
mm-hmm.
and how many pilots became an ace in a day.
Wasn't part of the bow blown off of it, though, during the war? Or was that, I think,
it wasn't blown off. No, it was the typhoon. It was in that perfect storm that literally tore up this, like, 8-foot-thick steel-plated deck.
Right.
It was awesome. Did wash some sailors out to sea. Cool. And they had a few accidents with bombs and things like that, but they were actually never hit by a kamikaze directly. They were strafed, but they were never hit by a plane.
Okay.
And they were never actually hit by a torpedo, although one did glance off it.
Oh, wow, they're lucky.
Which I'm told is very loud when it hit near the engine room.
Like a big thud.
No, they said it was like somebody had taken a giant gong and banged it really loud.
Did it blow up after it skimmed off of it? Or
No, it didn't. It didn't trigger it.
Right.
So they really were a lucky ship.
Yeah.
And radio call sign was the Grey Ghost. And it's well worth a visit. It's a fascinating place just from a historical perspective. They're also the ship that picked up the Apollo astronauts. Two of the astronaut trips when they landed in the ocean. They used this ship because it has actually two separate engine rooms and four propellers. So if one went out, they knew they could still make it to the astronaut.
Oh, I see.
Plus, it held a lot of the speed records until the nuclear submarine.
Okay.
So it's an awesome, awesome place just to visit. If you're into ghosts, it's even better because there are lots and lots of ghosts, many of which are very friendly and playful and active. And you can have a good chance of a sighting or feeling something if you go to the ship.
Well, for our newer listeners, you are a bona fide parapsychologist and a psychic.
Yeah, and a physician.
And a physician.
And an author.
The three T's. Well, that's not a T. Yeah. A published author.
Yeah.
And you just had your second book come out?
Yeah.
Okay. And you want to talk a little bit about the book?
Yeah, I do. And I'm going to be curious. I'm going to make you cough up some of your opinions. The second book is Suicide, What Really Happens in the Afterlife. And it was written for several reasons, partly because we felt like if people who wanted to commit suicide really knew what they were getting into, they might decide not to do it.
Okay.
And there are a lot of messages in here from people who successfully committed suicide or say they successfully committed suicide, and that is the common theme you see with most of them is don't do it. You know, it's a mistake. You won't get what you want. You know, you'll still have all the pain and angst and everything else, loneliness that you felt before you killed yourself. And partly to comfort those left behind, because it tells them they're still loved.
Okay.
And that these people don't burn in hell forever. They do have opportunities to work through things and to move on.
I've read, I think, about the first 110 pages. I'm really enjoying it. My question to you, or one of the questions I have for you, is do you find that through these entities or spirits or whatever you want to call them, are they working with other people over there to kind of improve their life over there?
Yes.
Okay.
The problem is for them to realize they have helpers trying to help them.
Okay.
And one of the things I was going to mention, even if you're just a ghost hunter and you have no interest in suicide per se, there are some chapters in this book I think would be very valuable for you. One of them is in terms of transitioning to the afterlife, which talks about that process of when you lose the body, you no longer have eyes to see and ears to hear. And therefore, what you're aware of is limited by your perception.
All right.
And so if you think you're still alive, you may be blind to everybody around you in spirit who is trying to help you.
Sure.
And that's where sometimes rescue circles are needed to get these people to move on. And sometimes I think ghost hunters and others are going to be running into these spirits that don't know they're dead, that are confused, and it's helpful for them to understand what these people are going through and how to help move them on. Another chapter I think that could be important for them to read is the one you haven't gotten to quite yet called Adjustment Problem. And it talks about what can happen, especially with addicts in the afterlife, that they may try to continue to feed off the living and vicariously enjoy alcohol or drugs through others and encourage them to overindulge. And they can also actually cause people to be depressed if they get attached to you and you're feeling their negative energy all the time. After a while, you know, sort of like two guitar strings, you know, one gets struck and the one next to it starts to vibrate.
Mm-hmm.
You may start to resonate with that melancholy, and it can make you feel down too. And they don't realize they're affecting you. They're not trying to hurt you in that case.
Now, would you say that these are quote-unquote ghost people that are not have not really
right? These are all people that have not transitioned, not made their full transition to the afterlife, or Once they've fully transitioned, usually they're greeted by other spirits that try to help them do a life review of self-judgment. And that's when you start to see the personality change. That's when you see them start to let go of some of their issues, work through things. They may ask for forgiveness, come back to people, ask for forgiveness. And they may have changed at that point. So it's kind of hard for people to understand sometimes that if you deal with ghosts or stuck spirits, they very much are the same limited personality they were when they were alive. They're going to have the same beliefs, perceptions, biases, prejudices, you know, that kind of thing, which can work for you or against you. If you have, you know, a ghost that believes that you can ward them off with a cross and holy water, then that's going to work. And if you have a ghost that's Jewish, they might just sort of roll their eyes at you, you know. But if you go beyond that to where they've started to work through their stuff or even gotten a fair ways through it, they may really change their personality. And that can be hard for the living to understand if they come back to ask for forgiveness and they did something that hurt you, that this is not necessarily the same person who hurt you. This soul may be very sincere in wanting to be forgiven. It may really have seen the error of its ways, and it kind of needs to be treated a little differently.
You co-wrote this book with John Climo, right?
Yeah, John Climo is actually the world's greatest expert on channeling.
Okay, and how long did you two collaborate on this project?
It was about a two-year project from beginning to end before it came out. And actually, part of why I dragged John into this, and I did drag him into it, kicking and screaming, is because the idea for this book originally came from him. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was a grad student, he would often talk about how he had been asked to put together some readings for someone who was suicidal, because it was felt like if this person really knew what those who committed suicide said about their experiences, that she would change her mind and decide not to do it. And he never quite knew what she did, and then he didn't bother to keep track of the selections. And I kept going, John, this would be a great book. John, you should do a book. And so I did do a lot of the research for it, and he added some very nice touches of his own.
Now, were you in contact and find out most of this information, do most of your research psychically?
No, most of my research was old-fashioned grunt work research. I went through about 400 or 500 books and some channeled journals to find material on suicides, and about a fourth of the sources had material on suicides. And then we also looked at other methods to cross-corroborate the information. You know, to just like if you were going to take an eyewitness account, if you were a cop and there was a crime, and you want to get as many different sources of information, you might try and get the video camera as well as, you know, personal testimony.
Right.
Because the more sources of information you have, the more likely you are to get to the truth of it. So we looked at reincarnation research data. We looked at past life hypnotherapy regression stories. We looked at near-death experiences, which I felt were very helpful. Mm-hmm. We looked at dreams. We looked at a variety of different things. So we tried to get as many streams of information to see where the common ground was. And there really was a lot of common ground. But the bulk of the material certainly is channeled, and some of it is channeled through EVPs.
Okay. And where did you guys record some of the EVPs?
We didn't actually personally record them.
Okay.
They were like George Meek.
Oh, yeah, right,
and Mark Macy and Pat Kubis and, you know, some classic people. Konstantin Radev. Classic guys. So most of this was not our personal research, except for the last third of the book, which is on suicide bombers, because there was nothing in the literature about them. So,
are they mostly Arabs, would you say?
I would say it depends on when in history you're looking, because there's actually, it goes back to a couple thousand years ago. The first known suicide murderers, you know, who were using it for political gain, were actually Jewish.
Really? Where? Europe?
Rome.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were trying to get freedom from Rome. So it's been used throughout, you know, the Tamil Tigers and others.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly best known at the moment.
Right now.
Associated with Islam.
Right.
But it's not certainly limited to that religion. And as we point out, it it's not even limited to terrorism. I mean, you've got people who go postal, you've got the Columbine killers.
Right.
All kinds of stuff going on, and it seems to be growing exponentially, which is why we wanted to put some time to it. So there's where is another chapter I would also have people read, you know, if they're just interested, you know, in general in ghosts.
What did you find out about the suicide bombers?
Oh, what didn't we find out? Well, their personalities haven't changed. Their progress is very slow.
They know they're dead?
Some do, some don't.
All right.
And I guess for me the big surprise is they're a lot more like traditional suicides than you would think.
Hmm.
A lot more like them. And I would never have guessed that before I started doing this.
That's interesting. What about as far as Muslims are concerned with the bombing? You know, of course, we all associate the current bombings with that particular religion. You had mentioned something to me at one point about I thought they believed that they would get like 70 virgins or something like that.
Yeah.
Did they get their virgins?
No. I mean, it is sort of funny because again, this isn't limited to suicide bombers. You'll see some of this with traditional suicides too, but
okay. Because
they're only going to see what they expect to see,
mm-hmm. Sometimes
spirit guides will show themselves, shall we say, as virgins or holy men.
All right.
Just to get these guys to cross over.
Oh.
Because they won't see it unless it's what they expect to see. And in fact, you may sometimes see, for fundamentalist Christians, you may sometimes see them appearing as Gabriel with a horn. You know?
Oh, right.
They test, yes, you're dead, and now it's time to move on. Because
that's the only way they're going to bait them to go.
Right. Yeah. So any kind of fundamentalism, they may have to go to extremes in order to be seen.
Yeah.
So that they can get these people to sort of finish their transition. It's interesting stuff.
You had touched on a topic a few minutes ago that Al and I often discuss. We're always of the opinion with earthbound spirits, which we call ghosts,
mm-hmm. That
if they don't want to leave, you're not going to get them to leave, and therefore these cleansings are not going to work. It sounds to me like you have a different take on that. Is that true?
Yeah, well, I've moved my share of spirits on, and they're not always terribly willing when they go.
Right.
I think there's a variety of things that can happen. I will usually first try to encourage them to go, okay? And I will get very creative with this. So, for example, I will sort of try different scenarios, like I'll bring friends from the afterlife to greet them.
Okay.
Or sometimes I'll bring this gorgeous new sports car that they'd just be dying to get in that can zoom off to the light.
Yeah.
Or for little kids, I might bring a rocking chair or
right.
little puppy dogs and kittens. You know, I'll try and find something that makes them feel safe and ready to move on.
Okay.
Now, if you have a spirit that's really strongly attached, then I look at why are they attached. Are they attached because they have a message? Are they attached because they feel there's unfinished business? Can you help them finish that business by passing a message on? Or can you convince them that if they move on to the afterlife, they can come back later as a spirit guide and finish that business? Which sometimes you can do that.
Okay.
Like, say there's a granddaughter they want to take care of.
Right.
Well, finish moving on to the light, you know, get some guide training, you can come back and be your guide.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Okay.
You can force them to move on. I always like Lloyd's technique, by the way. This is one Lloyd did. Yeah, there was a ghost that was haranguing a woman and cursing at her all the time and stuff. He had her put the ghost in a bell jar.
Really?
And then he said, you can slide the bell jar mentally outside the house. Well, she kept the bell jar in the house and harassed the ghost for several days. When she finally let it out, it was dying to leave.
And it left?
So, yeah.
Wow.
You can do things that would drive any normal adult insane to get them to go. You can say nonstop knock-knock jokes. You can play It's a Small World after all until they're ready to scream. I mean, there are different ways you can do it. However, when you're talking about psychic stuff, a lot of it involves, in terms of power, how much can you focus? And because of my background and my training and my personality, I have tremendous ability to focus. So that also translates into power if I choose to use it to move a spirit on. Now, there have been a few spirits that I really felt were, you know, would be extremely difficult to move on, and they weren't causing any harm.
So
if they aren't causing themselves or others harm, I'll leave them be.
You just let them alone?
I'll let them alone. But if they're harming other people, and therefore harming themselves karmically,
mm-hmm.
there have been times I've intervened. And I have forced them to move on. I wrap them in chains of white light, and mm-hmm. I hand them off to angels, and off they go.
Okay.
But I don't do that very often. That's if, like I say, if I feel like they're harming others and themselves. And it's in their best interest. Now, there's other ways you can do it. For example, if you're dealing with really... That's a popular topic to talk about demons, and I'm not much into demons.
No, neither are we.
But you run into negative energy mm-hmm. sometimes. There's a couple ways you can handle that effectively. Okay, and only a couple. You can't do it if you're afraid. You can't do it if you're angry. You can do it if you just send out nothing but waves of love. And I'll tell you, most negative energy hates love, so just surround them with all that pink light and genuine love, and boy, they'll usually take off.
They run away, right?
They don't like it.
No.
The other way of handling them is to be strictly neutral, which, by the way, interestingly enough, is how the spirit guides for the suicide bombers are. They are strictly neutral.
You mean politically or religiously or everything?
Everything. Yeah. They just have total neutrality, and it's really kind of amazing to talk to some of those spirit guides. They're really kind of awesome, you know, to be able to deal with this intense negativity. And there is no judgment. They are not judging their charges. And you can also do the same thing with negative entities. If you can approach them with complete neutrality, you basically can do whatever you need to move them on. They cannot harm you. They can't touch you.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of an interesting thing. It's like a pot with no handle. They have nothing to grab.
I see. Now, when you say spirit guides, were these people that you believe once lived here?
Not always.
Not always. Right.
But in a lot of cases for suicides, you know, we talked about what do they do later? A lot of people, after they've worked through their life review and self-judgment, will take on some form of spiritual work.
Okay.
And for suicides, the spiritual work they'll often take on is that of being guides for other suicides or of going back and trying to prevent other people from committing suicide.
Okay.
Which is where some of these books came out that we ended up pulling information from, is that this was their spiritual work, was to pass on this information that you don't want to do this.
And how do they do that, just karmically?
Sometimes they're literally acting as spirit guides. They may be going through mediums, channeling messages.
Okay.
They may appear mm-hmm. to loved ones, to family in dreams and other times to try to influence them not to commit suicide. It's interesting, some of the people after the, involved in the suicide bomber stuff, some of them, and some of the victims may also be working from the spirit realm to try to stop terrorism.
You think so? Is there proof?
What they say.
There's evidence of that, yeah.
That's what they say. I'm going to say, you know, you don't know how much of this is true or false, but it would certainly would be consistent with other kinds of messages and other kinds of suicide. It's very common for them to take on a spiritual work related to how they died.
That's interesting. Let's take a break for a second.
Sure.
And we'll be right back.
All right.
Hey there, this is Jeff from the EVP Podcast. You're listening to Garrett Husfeth, Al Robber, and Brent Dolan's Haunted New Jersey Podcast, the best paranormal investigation show on the internet. Period.
Okay, and we're back. And when we took a break, you just told me something interesting about some information you have on your site.
Yeah, I do actually have an audio file you can download talking about moving spirits onto the light and different techniques you can use, whether you're psychic or whether you're not psychic. Because there's, you know, all different kinds of things you can do to move spirits on.
Now, are you working on any other projects, any books or writing right now, or are you going to take a break for a while?
I'm taking a break at the moment.
Do you have any ideas?
Well, I need to eventually rewrite the PK Zone.
Right. What year was PK Zone your first book?
It's my first book. It actually came out in 2003, but the bulk of the research for it was done by 2000, and it took me almost 3 years to write it out of academic double talk, and I still need to change it a lot and do some updating. So
you're going to work on that next, you think?
Yeah, I might. You know, you can tell I'm not enthused, but
yeah.
I need to do something with it. And that might be next. And if psychics are correct, I'll be inspired with this wonderful, great idea sometime next year and take off with a new book anyway. So.
Okay, yeah. I can't see you sitting idle for too long. No, it's not my nature. No.
Not my nature.
No.
You know, if they actually ever get more pro ghosts on the Hornet, I have a, which you've seen, a little pamphlet that I was going to let them sell with ghost stories. But
do they take it?
Well, no. It's a question of we couldn't agree on terms.
Oh, all right.
They didn't want to have it copyrighted. I'm like, it's going to be a nightmare if no one has copyright on this material.
Yeah, right.
And especially, you know, they keep, you know, one minute they're pro ghosts, the next they're, you know, don't want to talk about it. It's like, you don't want something in public domain out here if you can't come to agreement on this.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
I don't know if it'll ever officially come out or not.
Well, are you doing any radio interviews recently?
Doing a bunch of interviews. Of course, Suicide Prevention Week is September 17th through 23rd.
That's right.
We do one the 23rd. We have some coming up in October, but basically if you just go to my website, www.pamelaheath.com, and you go to the events page,
they're all there.
It will tell you what's coming up, and it'll give you links to the different shows.
Yeah, pretty much everything streams now over the Internet.
Yeah.
So everybody should be able to listen to it, hopefully, no matter where they are.
Did you want to talk about the Ouija stuff?
Yes, I do. That was something I definitely wanted to talk about. You brought up an interesting point, because Al and I always kind of poo-poo the Ouija board, and Brent, too, and it's just, you know, kind of, we always felt it was kind of like subconscious PK psychic energy that actually moves it around, and it's just a bunch of hogwash. Well, not that PK is hogwash, but it's not what you think it is. And you sent me an email, and you brought up a very interesting point. What's your point?
Oh, well, I don't like Ouija boards, because I feel like they're a lose-lose situation no matter what happens. You know, sure, a lot of times you don't have any spirits involved, and that doesn't matter. You can still go wrong, because you may have people playing pranks on each other, you know, pushing around the Ouija board, you know, consciously.
Right.
To create false messages.
Right.
And freaking each other out.
Mm-hmm.
It's very common in teenagers.
Yeah.
You can have the unconscious get involved, and you can have it express true information that you didn't want other people to know, like that so-and-so is having an affair.
Right.
That can be very harmful. It may be true, but it doesn't mean that it's something you wanted your unconscious to share with other people.
Yep.
You can have false information come out, which is just as bad, because people may falsely believe it's true, or, you know, they may start to question themselves in doubt, and it can gnaw away at them. Is this true? Is this not true? And, you know, it screws them up.
The three latter examples, though, are you saying that, not the trickery, but the other ones are caused by psychokinesis, do you think?
In terms of true information coming out? No, I think it's the unconscious pushing the fingers.
So it's actually somebody just not realizing they're pushing it?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's nothing psychical. There's no PK involved. Okay.
Right. You know, actually, most of the time, that's what's going on anyway, even if it is psychic.
Mm-hmm.
It's your psychic information is getting pulled by the unconscious, which then gives you the fine motor changes, whether it's a pendulum or a Ouija board or anything else,
right,
that gives you the answer.
Okay.
So it's almost never, there is PK sometimes with Ouija boards, we'll get into next, but most of the time, it is your fingers moving that. With your muscles.
I agree, whether you realize it or not.
The trick is, where is the information coming from? Is it false information that you're guessing?
Mm-hmm.
Is it false information that you're just putting out there to play mind games with other people?
Mm-hmm.
Is it something that's true psychic information that your unconscious is using your hands to tell the conscious mind? Is it false psychic information? You know?
Right.
That your unconscious is putting out because of your own issues and your own fears and hopes and beliefs.
Well, you're talking about, you know,
Say you're afraid your dad committed suicide.
Right.
And you and the Ouija board, you're not getting this psychically,
mm-hmm.
you're not doing this consciously, but that fear comes up, and if you say to the board, okay, did my dad commit suicide? You may push it to the yes without being conscious you're doing so, because that's your fear.
Doesn't
mean it's true.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't mean it's true.
You can get PK, and I've heard of this happening a lot with people who have some psychic abilities, especially if they're teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And it totally freaks everybody out to have glasses flying around the room.
Yeah.
And they never do it again. They shut off their psychic abilities, block it totally, and then down the road they develop major health problems.
Because
they're blocking. Diabetes and things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so now we get to the next group of things that can go wrong with Ouija boards. You can get a spirit. Okay?
So you do believe you can?
I do, and okay. I've seen it. I think it's because you're inviting them in.
Okay.
You're saying, please, come talk to us. Anybody here, come talk to us. You have anybody with any psychic abilities at all, that message is going to get relayed out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're opening the door to everything. Okay? Good and bad.
Okay.
And there's no way to differentiate. I mean, yeah, you can try to set out the intentions. You can do prayers ahead of time. I think that helps some, but it's not a guarantee
right.
that you're not going to have some negative entities.
That could probably continue to affect you well after the Ouija board fun is over.
Right. Yeah. And I have heard of cases. Alan, we spoke of Alan Braun earlier.
Mm-hmm.
He became psychic after being possessed after playing with a Ouija board.
It means a true possession?
Yeah, apparently.
Right.
Apparently
but
it did
not
take
a demonic,
them off.
Not a demonic possession, though.
No.
No.
No, and it was not a long-lived one, because apparently his guides managed to push it back out again.
So it was more or less energy from
a party
person.
But it was scary as all get-out for
yeah.
him. And it kind of blew him open psychically, which was tough for him to deal with, too. He wasn't ready for that. But again, so you have a spirit present. You can have them giving you true information. And then why are they giving you that true information? Are they doing it to lead you deeper and set you up to give you false information next?
Mm,
sort of suck you down the garden path?
Right.
Are they doing it to be malicious because they know it's going to hurt your feelings? Are they doing it sincerely, but then you may misunderstand what they're saying, like the game of telephone?
Right.
Are they just plain giving you false information? Are they lying to you to create problems? Are they doing PK that freaks people out? You know, I don't think, you know, I would say the vast majority of poltergeist phenomena are human PK, but every once in a while you do get a ghost who can do it. It's rare,
okay.
but you do see it occasionally.
Okay.
I think it attracts the wrong energy, and I do think, I've heard of a number of cases where haunting started after that.
Well, I mean, and also as far as PK is concerned, you know, which is essentially mind over matter with a spirit or a ghost, when they are moving things, that's got to be PK that they're utilizing.
Precisely. They don't have physical bodies
exactly.
to push it with.
That's the only way they can do it.
Yeah, it seems to take some learning for them to do it, though. It's not. It either takes learning or just like with human beings, living humans, it takes a lot of emotion. For example, in suicide, what really happens in the afterlife, it does talk about a few cases where spirits were using PK to try to get the attention of the living.
And just by moving things?
By moving things, or by having things happen in a meaningful way, like Jim Pike was having safety pins open so that it looked like the time of his death.
Okay.
You know? Okay. Like the hands of a clock would have been on
when he died.
Oh, right,
right, right.
So, I mean, mm-hmm. they can be all kinds of different things. It's just that either it seems to be extreme emotion. Again, you'll see the same thing if you read the PK zone with humans. With
mm-hmm.
spontaneous PK, it's often extreme emotion that lets them do it. Or with ghosts, if they have enough time to practice and sort of learn how to do it.
And I know from doing, you know, field investigations for about 20 years now
mm-hmm.
that it's very, objects moving,
yeah.
at least being there to see them are very infrequent.
Yeah, I would say about, you know, 99.99%. of the PK I've seen has been human.
Human, yeah.
And about the only PK I know of that isn't is some of the stuff that goes on the Hornet.
Okay, right.
You know, with coffee pots moving and things. People have seen some interesting things, and I think it is the ghost. But they've been there a long time. And a lot of those, they are not stuck spirits. In fact, a lot of people don't even like us to use the word ghosts for that ship because there's very few stuck spirits. Most of those are spirits that did move on to the light and came back to help the ship become a museum. So,
do you think they know that it's docked and it's a museum now, or do they think they're kind of stuck in their time?
No, I think there are a few that are stuck, but I think the vast majority of them are very aware that they're dead. They're very aware of what's going on in the ship.
Mm-hmm.
They look at those of us who do volunteer work on the ship as being fellow crew members,
mm-hmm.
and they accept us pretty nicely.
Mm-hmm.
They also have been doing some things that appear to be related to their own agenda, though, now, in terms of there have been a few times when it felt like they were using the Hornet as a processing center for the newly dead.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, they
newly dead, as far as people that served.
Soldiers or Navy people in
right.
Iraq and the Middle East. They seem to be caring for them, it seems odd, but apparently there's something different energetically about a physical location instead of creating simply an image in the astral.
Okay.
And that may be why, this is something I've only recently sort of started to figure out, which actually is thanks to, you know, watching Chris on Dead Famous, mm-hmm. With the Janis Joplin episode. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes when spirits are doing their life review mm-hmm. and self-judgment, they actually go back to the physical place where they were experiencing that part of their life.
Okay.
Instead of just imagining it in their mind,
all right.
they go back to the physical location. There seems to be something different about being there that's helpful.
I see.
And I think the hornet ghosts are using the physical set, shall we say, mm-hmm. of the hornet in a similar way, that it puts out some kind of vibe that seems to be helpful or comforting to those who haven't quite adjusted to being dead.
Okay.
And then they kind of ease them more into being comfortable with their situation and explain things to them, and then probably finish their transition to other places.
Well, since you're talking about that, I have a question. I just want to get your opinion. Do you think that we here living here now on this plane have died before? Not saying reincarnation necessarily, but existed on some other plane?
I certainly believe it.
All right, and then so then our death to the next plane is just a natural progression?
Yeah.
And do you believe personally in reincarnation?
Yeah, I actually have spontaneous past life memories.
And where do you
and
what do you remember?
Interlife memories. I remember being between lives.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is sort of interesting.
What do you remember about, as far as the past lives go? Just one in particular? Or
oh, no. Gosh, no. Going back thousands of years, I remember a lot of them. But I would say to people who are interested in their past lives that when you're looking at them, what you need to understand is if you notice a past life, then you're doing so for a reason. It touches on some issue that you're dealing with in your current life.
Okay.
And so you don't focus on the past life. You say, oh, what is this pattern of behavior I've had in other lives? And how can I do things better in this life? Or, you know, oh, this is a lesson I learned in that life. I don't have to do this again, okay? I already know, you know, how this ought to be handled. Let's skip this, you know?
Yeah, eventually you got to learn.
So the focus really needs to be on the current life. And I think there's good reason that most of us forget past lives. And that's because it's hard not to hold grudges sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to remember that your focus is supposed to be on this life and what you can master this life and accomplish this life. And you don't want to get too hooked into the past.
Yeah, that's never a healthy place to stay.
No, I mean, you want to revisit, accept the lessons from it.
But not relive it.
But don't get too focused on it. Don't get stuck on it. You know, and I got to say, most of my past lives were very ordinary lives. And it's part of why I find it believable.
Were you Cleopatra?
No.
Are you sure?
I've been just like a housewife in the Middle Ages. It got abused. And
okay.
A variety of unpleasant lives. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm very few of power. And I think one of my favorite ones was a Buddhist monk.
Really?
Yeah, I had a nice little garden. And
so you were male?
Yeah, I've been male and female.
Okay.
And I guess we better not go into whether aliens exist or not, but it's interesting. Yeah, I am a personal believer. For those who aren't sure, and I wasn't sure for a long time, you know, you have to have a certain amount of skepticism, I would recommend reading Ian Stevenson's book, 20 Lives Suggestive of Reincarnation.
Okay.
He did some phenomenal research in countries where there is no television, there are no movies, there's no mass transit that gets people around. And he found these children who could not only relay details about their past lives, who they knew, you know, how they died, sometimes had birthmarks related to their death,
mm-hmm.
could sometimes speak entire languages they'd never been exposed to.
Yeah, I've read about that.
I mean, it's some phenomenal stuff. It does make you have to wonder about reincarnation, because it would be incredible ESP otherwise. And then as they get more and more sucked into their current lifetime, they forget all those memories, usually.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to go to bed now.
Okay.
I have to take my Ambien and go to sleep.
I'm not big on drugs, you know.
No, me neither, but Ambien's all right.
Have some hot milk.
Okay, maybe I'll have hot milk instead.
Okay.
All right, well, listen, it was great talking to you, and we'll check in with you a little later in the fall. And in the meantime, just keep us posted on what you're doing. If anything interesting comes up on the Hornet, let us know.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, Pam, thanks.
All right, bye.